Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SMOOTH at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SMOOTH. Enjoy!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We continue to react to the craziest first round of the NFL draft that I've ever seen. Six quarterbacks in the first 12 picks, a defensive player doesn't go until 15. Just absolute mayhem. You think you know where a franchise is going? They have Kirk Cousins for 4 years. Now Kirk Cousins is on the clock because Michael Penix Jr. did go to the Atlanta Falcons at number 8. And after Michael Penix did go, it set a domino effect, all right? Vikings, we know they had to land J.J. McCarthy. They did that. Some people were surprised by Bo Nix going to the Denver Broncos. Just absolute mayhem. You had defensive players who we thought were going to go in the top 10 fall out of the top 10 with Dallas Turner being one of them. Just absolute mayhem last night at Detroit. And now joining us, one of the best NFL reporters in the business. He, of course, is my friend, James Palmer, who always does a sensational job whenever he joins us right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. James, appreciate it. How you been, my man?
I'm good, man. Last night was awesome. I'm not going to lie. I had an awesome time. Everybody knows I had an awesome time. It was great, Zach.
Let me start you off with what the Falcons did. I like them signing Kirk Cousins. Now I don't, because it's not as if they drafted someone that was 21, 22 that you need to develop and isn't NFL ready. I kind of want to see Michael Penix Jr. now play with all the weapons that he has in Atlanta.
Yeah, and the way it was described to me, and I've kind of been all over this to kind of toot my own horn. I've known for a little while that that was one of their picks, just because Dallas Turner was the play that everybody had in the mock drafts. You mentioned no defensive players in the top 10. They didn't like Dallas Turner at all, to my understanding. They didn't really have any defensive players in the top 10 on their board. Pretty similar to a lot of other teams. And when they looked at their board, it was... we really love Michael Penix. Some people in the building had him as the second best quarterback on their board. You could say maybe he was their third best after Caleb and Jaden Daniels. But after that workout that they had out in Washington, where they went out with a contingent with Terry Fontenot and everybody was there, I was told, Zach, it was like 40 degrees, winds whipping all over the place, and he goes outdoors, throws the ball like he's working out in an indoor that's 80 degrees, and on the plane ride back, all of them are going, we might have a really difficult situation on our hands when we hit the clock at 8, because people were falling in love with Michael Penix. You mentioned the age, but I could also look at the age of Arthur Blank And I believe there is that video going around that everybody's seeing Terry Fontenot looking like he's describing what they did with eight to Arthur Blank. I think it's the exact opposite. I think Arthur had a big part in making this pick of Michael Penix because of what happened with Matt Ryan and his departure and them not having a plan. I believe he wants to have a chance for a Super Bowl for the duration of the time that he ends up owning this team. He is like 81 years old to have a plan past Kirk Cousins. You mentioned wanting to see Michael Penix with all of these weapons. I kind of hinted at it. It was described to me that he's kind of a souped up Kirk Cousins, kind of a supercharged version with a better arm. But a lot of the same traits, which makes them think the transition might be easy, but also might make for a difficult time during training camp when everybody sees Michael Penix out there slinging it next to Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles.
How long do you think Kirk Cousins will actually be the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons?
Right now, it was put to me that he has an extremely expensive insurance policy. I don't know what that exactly means, but I know he's the starter right now. And I think we are all being a little bit naive, Zach, in all honesty. Like, just with him and with Aaron Rodgers and their age and coming off of this injury, that we all just assume they are going to be the players that we've seen before. Now, there's a very good chance they both can go out there and play. Running around is not a huge part of both of their games, in all honesty. I think A-Rod could go out there in a wheelchair and probably sling it all over the field with his arm talent. But it's nice to have another quarterback in your room. I think, you know, Kirk Cousins is the quarterback for this season. I think the Falcons would like it that he's the quarterback for the 2 years that are guaranteed money, and then you transition. I don't think, in all honesty, Atlanta cares how old Michael Penix is going to be. We're all looking at that. We're probably all looking at that in terms of Michael Penix going, man, when's my next contract, right? Like, how am I going to be when I'm trying to get my second deal as an eighth overall pick? But I think Atlanta's just looking at, let's see who's the most talented quarterback to play. We think that's Kirk right now, and it doesn't hurt to have Michael Penix sit.
So from what you said, they went to the workout, right? The private workout that they had, they fell in love with him. They were buzzing about him on the flight back. If Terry Fontenot could have a do-over, do you think he doesn't even sign Kirk Cousins? They just rock and roll with Michael Penix Jr. at eight and start him week one?
I don't think they mind their situation. I really don't think he would ask for a do-over, because then you're also asking, and they do believe that Michael Penix, you know, processes extremely well, throws with anticipation, can layer the football, put it pretty much anywhere, a lot of traits, doesn't take sacks. A big part that they loved is over 1,800 dropbacks in his college career. He took 31 sacks. I mean, like, that's ridiculous. But I do think you're also, with the team that they've put together, you would be trotting out a rookie quarterback to try and go out and win the division, and they believe compete heavily in the NFC. I think they still think they're in a very good position. There weren't a whole lot of holes in this team. They didn't like Dallas Turner as an edge. You know, maybe they wanted to get an edge in the back end of the first round. They tried to get up for Latu. It came really close, and that would have been a perfect first round probably for Atlanta. And I wonder if they would have been able to get that pick. I wanted to get up. I think he ended up going 15th over to Indianapolis. Yeah. If they were able to get him, what do you think the perception of what Atlanta did in this draft would be? Do you think it would be different if they ended up going and getting an edge rusher in the back end of the first? I think it would be a little bit different.
So it's a great question. Now, I was on an island because I kept on saying that they were going to draft Roma Dunze at eight. Mm-hmm. Now, I know they needed defense, but I still think there would have been a lot of blowback just because it feels now the Kirk Cousins signing is irrelevant. Like, you didn't need to do it. Because once again, you draft Michael Penix Jr. He's I think he's ready to go now. This isn't you know, a Drake May that you hear you may need
exactly.
to sit the entirety of the. This isn't like people say the Packers model. Heck, Arthur Blank said it to me in February. He goes, sometimes you need to find an interim solution and then the long term solution, like what Green Bay did. But Jordan Love wasn't ready. He was 21. Penix is ready to go. So I think it would have weathered the storm a little bit, but there still would have been a lot of pushback.
Very much so. And I think you could always use the term we use in our personal lives. You can't help who you fall in love with, because they didn't have anybody else up there that they really, really loved. Like, you mentioned the receiver spot. They weren't in the receiver market. They weren't going to take a skill guy for the fourth year in a row in the top 10. The one that they did love was Malik Nabers. That was the one that they actually really, really liked in terms of the receiver group. I don't think anybody dislikes Marvin Harrison Jr. Go Bucks. But in all honesty, they did like, you know, Malik Nabers. They're in their meetings, they're going, I think we're going to have to make this move, because this is the guy on our board that is up there. And if Arthur Blank, and this is in every building, Zach, if the owner has a major say, That's going to push the dominoes in that direction. And to my understanding, Arthur had a big say in that Michael Penix be the pick at eight.
Yeah, I know I saw the video last night, and you have all these aggregators, and I'm not crapping on aggregators because, you know, hey, we love when they...
It's like Seinfeld, everybody trying to determine what they're saying, you know, like Kramer's out there, we're going to sweep together. Yeah.
But there's no way that Arthur Blank... This is not draft day where he found out, like, as the pick was being made, what the pick was actually going to be. I don't believe that for a second. All right. I know that you live in Denver. I know you heard some rumblings of how much Sean Payton was falling in love with Bo Nix. I would have never thought he would have been the 12th overall pick, but once you have Michael Penix go at eight and then the Vikings say, okay, now we need to go get J.J. McCarthy, I could see why Bo Nix was the pick at 12. Do you like that move for Denver?
First, I don't think, Zach, whatever happened in front of them would have altered them picking Bo Nix 12.
Wow.
No matter how many quarterbacks were off the board, I think they would have stuck with Nix. They didn't like McCarthy. My understanding, that was a lot of smoke out there. They weren't huge fans of J.J. McCarthy. They weren't super high on Michael Penix. I would think a lot of Penix's traits, like the sack numbers that I mentioned there, would fit Sean Payton. But Bo Nix was their guy. And this is a fascinating one because you mentioned, I live in Denver. The text started coming in from war rooms. I can't believe they took Bo Nix at 12. Like, that kept coming into my phone. But there's the other school of thought going, the quarterback position. If he's the guy you really, really want, it doesn't matter where you pick him. It's an outlier from the rest of the positions. And I do believe that when you always equate value and where you're getting the value, the positional value, all these different things that come into play. But the quarterback spot, don't get cute. You could have maybe traded back, got some more picks because they didn't have a second round pick, which was complicating this even further. But you don't do that and then have the opportunity that maybe the Rams like him. And maybe, you know, New Orleans was interested in looking around at the quarterbacks and, you know, maybe they end up snaking him or Seattle, some of the teams that were also quietly looking at quarterbacks. This was the guy that Sean Payton really, really wanted. This is a guy that some people around the league believe is going to be a backup quarterback. That was his grade, middle of the second round, third round, and he goes 12th overall. But there are some things that some people around the league really, really like. Like the comp that I heard, Zach, from multiple offensive coordinators, actually, was Derek Carr. But a more athletic Derek Carr that probably handles pressure in the pocket much better than Carr has in his career. But there's a lot of similarities there in some offensive minds in terms of mechanics, footwork, ability to get the football loose. I just think, and this was maybe the best way it was described to me, you put Bo Nix in the situation J.J. McCarthy's in right now in Minnesota, I think you see a vastly different Bo Nix than the one you're going to see this year. And that's just saying both of those guys probably play very well in McCarthy and Nix with a lot of talent around them. And I think it's a similar thing you could say with maybe like Brock Purdy. It was told to me that you put Bo Nix on the Eagles, on the Niners, maybe the Cowboys, and you're like, this guy's out here slinging it. Like, it's a really good situation. Situation matters, and I think situation matters with the head coach he landed with, which is a big part of this as well. But there's going to be some growing pains because the Broncos roster is just nowhere near where that situation he would be in if, say, he landed in Minnesota.
And that's my problem with it, especially in their division, where you can't just have a good quarterback. You got to have a great quarterback with who you're going up against in the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes. I don't think this guy, Bo Nix, has a ceiling of being a great quarterback. I think his ceiling's just good, and you just said it. I think he's going to play in year one. I think he should be the day one starter. They don't have really any other quarterback on that roster that moves the needle for me, but the weapons that he's throwing to right now, geez, they stink.
Yeah, that's the issue. I do think he has a better offensive line than maybe some guys that are taken near that portion of the draft. As a quarterback, I don't think the Broncos' line is terrible in some metrics. However you want to go analytics, they're kind of a top 10 line in some people's minds. His center right now was his center from college. Like, he has some help up front, but the weapons he has, there's an athletic tight end in Greg Dulcich that they thought was going to be a playmaker for them. He's going to run that Joker role for Sean Payton when he came in. Every year he's been in the league, he's been unable to stay on the field. I think Cortland Sutton had some flashes, right? 10 touchdowns, I think it was. Marvin Mims is going to be the guy sliding into the other spot. Tim Patrick hasn't played in 2 years, coming off of season-end injuries. It's not that group that, as I mentioned, the Derek Carr comp, when teams were talking to me about Bo Nix, it was, remember when Derek Carr had weapons, you kind of were like, he could be dangerous at times, right? He can light it up a little bit. Bo Nix doesn't have those weapons right now. And I think you're right when you mention his ceiling's probably middle of the road. That's kind of what Derek Carr's been his whole career, right? It's like a 15th best quarterback, somewhere around that range. That seems what we all envision for Bo Nix. But this is kind of a legacy pick for Sean Payton. I really think it is, because he has made the comments publicly last night where you don't move back for the guy you really fall in love with. You know, he mentioned Patrick Mahomes in the same sentence. He's not comparing their skill set. He's just saying you go get the guy you love, and the last guy you fell in love with was Patrick Mahomes. There's a lot on Bo Nix's shoulders right now. This is a team that's been struggling with quarterback play since Peyton Manning retired after the 2015 season.
I think the biggest winner from a team standpoint last night, James Palmer, and I know it's easy when you have the number one overall pick, but they also had the ninth pick, it's the Bears. You get Caleb Williams and you get Rome Odunze, but the individual player that I thought was the biggest winner, it's J.J. McCarthy. If he would have landed in New England or the Giants, I thought it would have been miserable. He goes to Minnesota with Justin Jefferson, with Jordan Addison, Aaron Jones in that backfield. Now you have Hockenson and O'Connell as the coach. I think J.J. McCarthy can be good with the Minnesota Vikings right away.
It's one of the better quarterback situations, Zach, we've seen somebody walk into as a top 10 pick. I mean, I can't think of somebody going into that type of situation. I've had conversations with Justin Jefferson last season just about the mind of Kevin O'Connell and about the way other quarterbacks, remember, that stepped in. Josh Dobbs comes in and Kevin's just like telling him plays while he's in the huddle and they're out there winning football games. Like, to have that type of coach, that type of play caller, the ability to interchange these talented pieces with the line that's in front of them. Like, this is a very, very good situation because a lot is not going to be put on J.J. McCarthy. And I think that's when we saw him thrive in Michigan, as much as it pains me to say that as a Buckeye. When he thrived in Michigan is when he didn't have to be a hero. He didn't have to go out there and do it. He just had to run everything. And he's done a lot of pro-type things out of that offense in Michigan. So he's ready in some senses more than some of these other guys in terms of operating a huddle, puts him a little, you know, head and shoulders up than some of these other guys, just getting the process going. But I think KO calling everything for him and the group he has around him, this is just a phenomenal situation for him. The other team that I would say, real quick, you mentioned the Bears and their two picks. I think Arizona did very well.
Yeah, I agree.
In this first round as well.
Got the best player in the draft, and then you go get Robinson, the edge rusher out of Missouri. That's a team that needs talent, and I think a lot of people forget that Kyler Murray, I don't know if he'll be great, but he showed he could be good before. You have a quarterback that you paid and you could do something with. Now you got to go get some players around him, and they did that.
Yeah, this is the best line that I heard yesterday morning. I had an assistant GM text me. I was like, we were just talking about Marvin Harrison Jr., and he was like, you know, I watched some games, and I was oohing and ah, and then I saw his measurables, and I was like, holy moly, like 220 he's doing this? Are you out of your mind? And I was like, what do you think? He's like, I'm going to tell you this right now. When he walks across the stage tonight, they shouldn't hand him a hat. They should hand him a bleeping gold jacket. And I was like, that is a line right there. That is a line to describe a player that has not yet played an NFL down. But he went about the process very differently. And I will say this about Marvin. That didn't bother a single team I talked to. Him preparing for rookie camp, not doing a lot of things, didn't do a pro day. They're going to see other players that are as clean a prospects as we had with Marvin Harrison Jr. do this as well. And my understanding is if you are that caliber of player and there's no questions about your character, your work ethic, or your game, the league is not going to have any problems with guys handling things the way Marvin did, especially if he goes out and wins, say, Rookie of the Year and balls out. And they're like, okay, I want my guy ready for camp.
What about the Giants? Like, what do I make of the Daniel Jones situation? Okay, they paid him. He's going to be the guy next year. They didn't draft a quarterback. Maybe they take like a Spencer Rattler tonight. I've seen that's the rumor. You go get Malik Nabers. That's a big-time talent. But what is the future of Daniel Jones with the Giants?
They really seem to only be interested in Drake May. I was told the J.J. McCarthy stuff with them was like a little bit of a smokescreen. And I'm going to say this. I know Brian a little bit. If they've all thought, let's go and visit with J.J. McCarthy on Easter to make everybody think that's how in love we are with J.J. McCarthy, that is like a tremendous, elaborate draft process ruse. I heard they were really only interested in May, and that, you know, kind of actually played into the part of New England going, Brian Daboll evaluates quarterbacks pretty well. He likes May. I think this makes us feel a little bit comfortable. So they don't get the one guy that they really, really want. They stick with Daniel Jones. You give him an added target. I mean, they've been lacking a threat of a receiver for some time. What I do think helps Daniel Jones and helps this entire team as a whole, Zach, explosive plays just weren't happening in the NFL last year. Like they just don't, unless you're the Miami Dolphins, I guess. They just aren't happening. The way defenses play this Vic Fangio shell system, you know, you mean just take away everything deep. Malik Nabers can keep, you know, create different explosive plays from anywhere on the field. And I think that is, you know, that's something that, you know, Kansas City went and did with Worthy, but Nabers even better at it from more spots. I think that's extremely important when you're a team in the position like the Giants are with a quarterback like you are with Daniel Jones. If you can sneak a couple of scores out that you probably wouldn't have gotten, where he's going to outrun any safety no matter the angle, and he's going to be able to get you some big scores in moments where drives just end in a lot quicker fashion than you would have thought, I think that helps out Daniel Jones tremendously. But it is, they looked at quarterbacks and, you know, they liked May and he was gone. So that was essentially it for them.
Whether it happens tonight or maybe at some point this offseason, will Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel both be on the 49ers come week one?
They have the luxury to do it. I just don't see it. And I see there's the problem is we're doing this now, right? And then the second round's going to start and something's going to happen and I'm going to be wrong. But my guess right now, as we stand here, there's a greater chance Ayuk is on the team than there is Deebo Samuel.
And I think Ayuk is the better wide receiver, but Deebo is the better all-around player. Outside of New England, because that's what the team everyone's talking about. And I think New England, they have to go get an established player. They tried with Calvin Ridley. I guess his girlfriend didn't want to go to Foxborough. Who were some other teams? I've been to Foxborough multiple times. I love it. You know, I've seen a lot of championships there. You know, you go to the Red Robin before the game. There's a good steakhouse after the game. You know,
over there to Davio's.
Yeah, Davio's, of course.
365 days out of the year Christmas store. Yeah, let's go, Foxborough.
But little movie theater. There's a hospital there if you got to go to one. There's a hotel. There's enough stuff there.
There is.
Me being a Patriot homer, I will sell Foxborough.
I've spent way too much time in Foxborough, especially during Deflategate.
A bunch of bull junk with that commissioner. But anyway, outside of the Patriots, who else could be in play for a Deebo or an Ayuk trade?
You know, I heard a rumbling about Deebo and maybe Buffalo would be interested because obviously they kept moving back. We always knew at 28 they were going to be looking at receiver, and then they go back, and then they go back again. And first they go back, and everybody in the AFC is just absolutely pissed off at them for going back and letting the Chiefs come up and take Worthy, which the rest of the AFC is now miserable that Patrick Mahomes has him. So they go back again into the second round. There's some talk. Maybe Deebo goes there, but I don't think that fits at all because they can work the middle of the field. They have talent that can do everything kind of in the middle with what you saw from Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. They have like three other slots. They need an outside guy. Like they need Ayuk, actually, on the outside. I would assume they're going to go with the draft pick. The interesting part about where they could land is there's still a lot of wide receiver talent on the board. Like what I was told was the guess was 14 to 15 wide receivers in the first two rounds. What do we have in the first round? Was it seven? Is that what we had?
I think so, yeah.
I think this is like half of it. So there's still definitely players to go out there and get on these cheap contracts. I mean, that's a huge part. And I think the difficult part about it is what two contracts just got done in the last couple of days and drove the market up even further at the position.
Good point.
So that's why I do think that makes Deebo more attractive than Ayuk because you're going to have to do a new deal. Deebo has till, I think, 26 on his contract. So you can get him and not have to rework something right away, like Ayuk, which you would probably have to. And the deals that just got done, I think, complicates that. And the other part is there's not a whole lot of teams that love to trade players during the draft. I mean, there's teams that do it. Howie Roseman will do it every year. But there's some teams that just won't do it because of everything that goes involved with having to get this done while you're still trying to handle the draft.
Last thing I'll ask you, James Palmer. Outside of the obvious ones, take the quarterbacks, take the star wide receivers out of it. What was your biggest takeaway from the first round?
I thought everything kind of fell the way I thought it would fall with the number of tackles. Because I talked to a lot of teams in the back end of the draft, and again, they were trying to figure out the top 15 because 15 is really kind of, I would say, the average first round grades that were out there around the league. So then mostly the back half is picking second round guys. I was wondering if there was going to be some movement for tackles, but that didn't really happen. I thought one of the most interesting parts of the first round was Howie Roseman made a boatload of calls. They liked Quinyon Mitchell. They thought he was the best corner in the draft. And they were able just to sit there and stay and get their pick of the best corner in the draft in their mind. I thought that was one of the more fascinating spots where it just kept falling that way, where they were just going, I guess we don't have to make a trade for this.
And Sirianni knows everything about the kid because his college roommate was Jason Candle, the coach at Toledo.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so some people had Wiggins as maybe the most talented corner in the draft, and maybe some people in Philly's building had that. But in terms of the best prospect, the best player, it's Mitchell, and they've desperately needed it. And to me, that also is a little bit telling the way things have shifted in Philly just a tiny bit, because you and I both know how he wants to go. The trenches like crazy, and a lot of people thought he was maybe moving up to add a tackle that could potentially play guard right now and then kick out when Lane Johnson retires. He wants to go trenches all the time in the first round. Hasn't picked a first-round corner since, what, like Lito Shepard, I think? And so I think this changes, like Vic Fangio and that group on defense has a little bit of a say in the room about what they need to change and from how bad they were as a secondary last year.
He's the great James Palmer. James, thank you so much. Appreciate the time today.
No problem, buddy. Good to see you.
There he is, James Palmer joining us. What a comprehensive breakdown that was. And he's exactly right when you look at the wide receivers. You had Marvin Harrison Jr., you had Malik Nabers, and you had Roma Dunze all go in the top 10. We knew that was going to happen. And then after that, you had Brian Thomas Jr. be the next wide receiver off the board, which is puts even more pressure on Trevor Lawrence. Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. And then in the last two picks, you had the Parcel kid from Florida and then Leggett out of South Carolina, who I like him a lot. And I like that story, too. Carolina base told them they were going to pick him. Then they revealed it. Then Canales said, oh, no, I told that to like 50 guys. And they ended up trading up one pick to end up getting him. Coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It is the Infinity Sports Network, and it is the Zach Gelb Show. Day two of the NFL draft after the mayhem that did occur on Thursday night in round one, and I've never seen anything like it. Like, if you would have told me Bo Nix would have been the pick for the Broncos at 12 a week and a half ago, I would have said, what crack are you smoking? I seriously would have said that. If you would have told me Michael Penix Jr. would have been the pick at 8 a week ago to the Falcons, I would have said kind of what Darvin Ham said when people were saying, oh, the Lakers should have lost the first playing game. Like, what insane asylum did you just come out of? Well, maybe those people are actually right with the way that the Lakers are looking up against the Nuggets. But to be fair, Stu, you still weren't right. Even though you were right about that the Lakers would have got their ass kicked by Denver. They keep on ripping your heart out, building up these leads, and then choking them away. I didn't believe that the Lakers were in a spot where they could pick or choose how they get into the postseason. You just had to find a way to get in. But the Penix and Nix selections define the first round. Because the Falcons part, it's like, why'd you bring in Kirk Cousins to draft a guy that's ready to play right now? And the Denver selection of Bo Nix, I respect. Okay, Sean, you fell in love with Bo Nix, and you don't let a player, especially at that position, and only at that position, quarterback, you don't let a player go further down the draft board, and you trade back, and then you lose out at him, and then he goes on to be great, and you're saying, what if? But I don't believe Bo Nix has a ceiling of being great. And that Broncos offensive roster, you know, line, like James Palmer said, better than what you think. But that receiving core and the weapons are non-existent in Denver. And Stu, I just wonder what your thoughts were. And this is just what James Palmer was told. He was like, people compare Bo Nix to Derek Carr. I don't know about you. When he was saying that, that was even more of the going off in my head. This is why you don't take Bo Nix. Because anytime Derek Carr was on the cusp of becoming a top 10 quarterback and he's about to tiptoe into that conversation, he took three or four steps back. It was like a roller coaster ride where there's some ups, there's some downs, there's some thrills, there's some misery. But then, like, he got off and you're like, eh, okay. I know there's better roller coaster rides out there. It gave me a little thrill. There was a lot of misery during it. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of better options and more entertaining things to do.
Yeah, and Derek Carr was a second round pick, so like,
not 12th.
Not 12th overall, so I think there's a difference there. Like, I think the Raiders got good value out of Carr. If the Broncos have what is Derek Carr with Bo Nix, they'll probably be disappointed in the end, I would think.
Well, put it this way. There are some people now that believe Justin Herbert is overrated. I'm not one of them. But there are some people that believe Justin Herbert is overrated. He'll never be a great quarterback. And he's never going to be able to put it all together with the Chargers. If I ask those people that say Justin Herbert's overrated, and a lot of them are Denver Broncos fans. There's one in this office that I know of, cough, cough, Anthony Gallo. Would you rather have Bo Nix or Justin Herbert? They're lying. if they don't say Justin Herbert. And that's the big problem. Like, in the NFC, you don't have a lot of elite quarterbacks. I don't know if there's any elite quarterbacks in the NFC right now. Jalen Hurts looked like he was elite, then took a step back. Dak Prescott, definitely not elite. Brock Purdy, not elite. Kirk Cousins, not elite. Kyler Murray, not elite. You know, Matthew Stafford, very, very good. At times great, but I wouldn't say he's elite. So the NFC is there for the taking. That's why I really hope the Bears put it together. You have Caleb Williams, who could be elite. But in the NFC, you could get away with, like, a good quarterback to get you to a Super Bowl. But in the AFC, particularly the AFC West, you need a top three quarterback. Like, look at Buffalo. They have Josh Allen. He's considered an elite quarterback. He's considered a great quarterback. They can't even get over the hump against Kansas City. You know, Joe Burrow's the one guy that's been able to do it up against Kansas City. Won 1 year, lost the next year in the championship game. You know, C.J. Stroud is someone that I think will be elite. But for Bo Nix, I don't think he's ever going to be elite. And that's my biggest concern here is you have the AFC West. Everyone's chasing Kansas City. I hope a second team emerges. And I like what the Raiders have on offense outside of the quarterback position. Stu, your team did a good job getting Brock Bowers. You have Michael Mayer. You take a look. You have Devontae Adams for now. You have Jacoby Myers. And I wish they still had Josh Jacobs, but you have offensive weapons. You go get a quarterback, you know, that team, I'm not going to say they're going to go contend for the division title, but they could be the second best team in the AFC West. I don't think the Broncos are anywhere close. You look at the Chargers, I believe in their coach. I believe in their quarterback. Their offensive line shaping up well, but they have a lot of work to do. You have an aging defense. A lot of those guys are banged up. You got to go get weapons on the offensive side of the ball. So let me just ask you this. I'll go around the room here. What was more surprising? And why was it more surprising to you? Michael Penix at 8 or Bo Nix at 12? Because a week ago, if I would have told you those would be the picks at 8 or 12, no one would have believed it. Stu, what's your response here?
Oh, I don't know if it's Penix at 8 necessarily, but Penix to the Falcons at 8, mm-hmm. It was more surprising. But if you take the team out of it and it's just the number, then it's Nix. Because I thought Nix would be like a very late first rounder, early second rounder. I thought he'd be the guy that would kind of fall back. And I thought Penix would be a first round pick, maybe mid first.
I like the way that you said that because you're right. Like Penix at 8, just at 8, you could sell me on that before the draft. Him at 8 to the Falcons would have never ever believed it when you just guaranteed someone $100 million. But Bo Nix at 12, to me, like at 12, I would have, we were saying maybe the back end of the first round. Maybe. So I when I put out this poll question, because it was like one after another, it was bang, bang. And you can find it at INF Sportsnet or at Zach Gelb. What's the bigger surprise? Michael Penix at 8 or Bo Nix at 12? It's because of Penix going to the Falcons. I think that's what's going to win this poll going away in a landslide. Samter, where you at on that question? What's more surprising, Penix at 8 or Bo Nix at 12?
Yeah, Penix at 8.
And Ack, what are you going on this one?
I go Penix at 8 more because it was confusing and mysterious and out of left field. There's so much more to unpack there than Bo Nix. But Bo Nix is almost equally as surprising.
And we knew that the Broncos needed a quarterback.
Yes.
We thought it would maybe be a trade-up for Drake May. We maybe thought it was going to be J.J. McCarthy. And then you heard in like 48 hours, the last 48 hours, oh, maybe it's going to be Bo Nix. But taking him at 12? Like, Stu, if we walked in here today and let's say Denver passed on him and your Raiders took him at 13 the next pick, would you have quit being a fan?
I would not quit being a fan, but I would be very, very annoyed. Probably more annoyed than any pick they've had. And that's saying a lot because
more
they've had
Darius Hayward Bay?
More than Darius Hayward Bay. Because that's like you're taking a quarterback that I just really don't believe in, that you're drafting too high, and I just really think isn't going to be good. Like, I think that's just a recipe for disaster.
And that's the thing, too. A lot of these quarterbacks now, we just went through the Trevor Lawrence draft. Okay, he's still in Jacksonville. All the other quarterbacks in the first round, Zach Wilson, new team, Mac Jones, new team, Justin Fields on a new team. You know, these teams give up. Trey Lance didn't even make it. Barely started with the Niners. A lot of these guys, they give up early. You know, Williams, I'll be surprised if the Bears are back there a few years from now. I believe as long as Jaden Daniels stays healthy, he's going to be really damn good. The Patriots just went quarterback to quarterback. I'm going to say that they get enough to make Drake May serviceable. Michael Penix Jr., I believe in him. I like his situation. When is he going to get on the field, though? But Bo Nix, like out of all these quarterbacks, I'd be surprised if Bo Nix is getting a second contract from the Denver Broncos. So what's the bigger surprise, Penix at 8 or Bo Nix at 12? I think it's because Penix at 8 to the Falcons, that's what wins this one in a landslide, 79.4% to 20.6%. We'll come on back a little onside, offside update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. All righty, it's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Lou in Rochester says, Zach, who do you think the Bills should take with the 33rd overall pick to kick off the second round tonight? You could submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelbies and the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I think Adonai Mitchell out of Texas or Ladd McConkey out of Georgia. One of those two players should be the pick at 33. Without further ado, though, I'm not talking about Freddie Adu. Santer's got some questions for me. I'll get some answers for you, hopefully. Let's get to a little onside, offside. Stu, hit it.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's onsides, offsides with Zach Gill.
Alrighty, what do we got cooking today, Samter?
All right, all season long, the Cowboys have talked about being, quote, all in, and rumors swirled about the circus inside the Dallas organization. Yet, once again, there was a lot of bluster before the team made a boring, sound draft decision, trading back five spots and selecting offensive tackle Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. We remember they did the same thing. There was all the talk about Jerry Jones meddling and wanting Johnny Manziel, and instead they got Hall of Famer Zach Martin, an offensive guard. So onside, offside, for all the criticism that Jerry Jones gets, he's actually very good in the NFL draft.
So I am actually offended with something you just said. You said they made a boring selection?
I mean, offensive lineman, it's not sexy. It's not big splash.
Guy.
It's not like Dallas Cowboys,
you don't
big splash.
Big people. You don't respect how the games
well,
are
I definitely
won.
Don't like big people. No, but I'm just saying, offensive linemen aren't sexy. Wide receivers are sexy. Quarterbacks are sexy. Linebacker, defensive ends are sexy. Cornerbacks are sexy. Offensive linemen aren't sexy, but the Cowboys, despite all of this big Dallas star, we're the Cowboys, blah, 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 they don't always go with the sexy pick. They oftentimes don't go with the sexy pick.
Can I give you their first-round picks since 2010? Dez Bryant, Teron Smith, Morris Claiborne, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Byron Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, Taco Charlton, Leighton Van Der Esch, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, Tyler Smith, Mazi Smith, and Tyler Guyton. For a big chunk, that's pretty damn good. There's like a few busts in there. And there's a few guys that had their careers just derailed by injuries, but the time they played, they were really damn good. So for all the criticism of Jerry Jones, he's actually very good at the draft. On sides. I'll say this about Jerry Jones. He constructs a good team. More times than not, but it's not a great team. Good team, not a great team. But no, I'll say onside with this question. Yeah, I like it.
Now, the Broncos made a surprise pick, taking Bo Nix 12th overall to compete with my boy Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham. Most had Nix as
your
a late
boy.
First
Why is
round
your
pick.
Boy? You're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, I know. Most had Nix as a late first round pick, even maybe a second round grade, but Sean Payton wanted to get a signal caller. So onside, offside, you trust in Payton leading the Broncos back to contention.
Offside. I'm sorry.
Offside.
The Sean Payton luster has worn off. And Bo Nix with no receiving core or a below average receiving core when you reach for a quarterback, how does that usually work out? The player usually fails. All right, Mac Jones was pretty hyped coming out of college. Mac Jones never had a number one wide receiver. At least Bo Nix will get good coaching on the offensive side of the ball. And the Patriots just picked a quarterback last night at 3 to replace Mac Jones, who's now in Jacksonville backing up Trevor Lawrence. So I'm not a fan of the Bo Nix selection.
Now, after the Bills lost their top two receivers this offseason, we all thought they would take a wideout in the first round, maybe even trade up to get one. However, Brandon Bean went the opposite route, trading back twice with quality receivers like Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, and Xavier Leggett still on the board. Now, both Xaviers are off. McConkey's still there. Obviously, Adonai Mitchell is still there as well. Now, onside, offside, the Bills made a mistake not taking a receiver in the first round.
You know who's also there? Keon Coleman, who I like a lot out of Florida State. I think the sexy take last night and the big take last night and the easy take is, how do the Bills trade with the Chiefs? How do they do it? And don't get me wrong. I was saying that on my couch last night. And then, oh, you trade back again. You see two wide receivers go. I understand the PTSD that you get with trading with the Chiefs. Fully understand that. But let's see who they pick tonight. Because if they get Keon Coleman, if they get Ladd McConkey, if they get Adonai Mitchell, I'm not slamming what they did. Because Kansas City was still going to get a wide receiver. Carolina was still going to get a wide receiver. So if you're still able to get your guy, I don't believe the Bills made a mistake. So the Bills made a mistake not taking a wide receiver in the first round. I'm going offside because they could get a damn good wide receiver with the first pick of the second round tonight.
Offside.
Now, my former team, the Jets, moved back one spot, adding a fourth and fifth rounder in the process. Heck of a move. But instead of taking super tight end Brock Bowers 11th, that went to Stu's Raiders, they went more conservative, taking Penn State offensive line offensive tackle Olufashinu. Fashanu.
Say that name 10 times fast.
Alu Fashanu. Onside, offside, the Jets should have taken Bowers to pair with Rodgers.
I want them to draft Brock Bowers. I can't crush them, though, for taking a lineman at Penn State that only allowed one sack and played a whole lot. So the Jets should have taken Bowers to pair with Rodgers. It would have been sexy. But remember, Teron Smith, he has been in and out of the lineup a lot. Has not played a full season in a long, long, long time, so I can't crush them for taking an offensive lineman, doing something that Samter would say isn't sexy, even though the big fellas can be sexy. So the Jets should have taken Bowers to pair with Rodgers. I'll go offside.
Offside.
Now, Zach, your favorite owner, David Tepper, is at it again after a local bar in Carolina posted a sign saying, quote,
what a bleep hole, by the way.
Let the GM and coach pick. Security camera footage shows Tepper walking into the bar, confronting the staff, and even removing one of the employees' Eagles hats. Now, the staff at the bar, however, said the confrontation was jovial and pleasant, and he was having fun removing the Eagles fans' hat. That's what the guys who were...
He's an insecure man.
Well, the guys who were at the bar who he was talking to said it was no big deal. He was having fun. He was just jabbing at us. It didn't seem very serious.
Yeah, because Tepper will, like, take a wrecking ball to their restaurant if
they don't say I mean,
that.
When a billionaire comes in and makes some questions, I mean, it's kind of threatening. Mm-hmm. Even if it's in a fun, jovial way, it's still threatening when a guy like that who owns the team and is a billionaire comes
in
there.
And is an insecure man and likes talking to throw kids. Drinks at people.
Yeah, these are kids who work, you know, like they're bartenders, they're waiters, they're hostesses.
Well, I think that the guy he was talking to was the owner. He looked a little bit older.
Well, the owner wasn't there. The guy whose idea
was
that
wasn't the owner with the hat that he took off?
No. I think the owner was the one who put the sign up, and the guy who...
Good on the owner.
Yeah. The guy whose hat he took off was not the owner. He said the guy who made the decision, the owner is not here right now. So either way, onside, offside, David Tepper is the worst owner, not just in the NFL, in all of sports.
Yeah, because his team's a bleep show, and Daniel Snyder isn't in the NFL anymore. On sides, and like the A's owner, no one just cares about him. I know he's a bad owner, too.
Dolan is up there.
Yeah, but at least the Knicks are winning right now. The Rangers are winning right now. I call him David Tepper Dolan Jr., but I'd rather have Dolan be running my team than David Tepper right now. And who do you think he was? Like Tony Soprano walking over in that Italian restaurant telling the kid to take his hat off in the Italian establishment? Ripping the guy's hat off. Just what a creep David Tepper is. So David Tepper is the worst owner in sports on sides. And the sign was 100% right, by the way. 100% right. Let the GM and coach pick. Maybe you would have had CJ Stroud. All righty, that does it. Another week of the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Mike Renner for joining us today, Brian Finneran, and James Palmer as well. Have a great weekend. Appreciate each and one of you for tuning in today. Samter Stu, thank you as always. You guys are rock stars. We'll be back on Monday, everybody. We out. Bye-bye.
Peace.
Go Rangers!
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time, it all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. you can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects. And say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.